song for what we're going to be doing today. You may have a seat. Welcome to Townsend Church. We are glad that you are here. We are glad that you are tuning in at home or maybe sitting out in the parking lot listening on your car radio. Thank you for choosing to be here to worship with us today. We have a special service planned. I'm super stoked about it. On your way in, you should have received a little cup that looks like this. That is going to be used in just a little bit. Just so you know, there's a little wafer on the top. That's where the first cellophane is at. And then below that, there'll be another cellophane that you'll rip back, and there'll be our juice. And so just so you know, if you did not get one of these, if you'll just lift your hand, I will send one of our ushers to you to make sure that you have one of these in just a little bit. If you are at home, please feel free to go raid your refrigerator. Find whatever you can find to take and eat and drink. And again, have that ready in just a little bit. If you're out in the parking lot, come to the front door. We'll make sure you have some things for you to where you can also partake in communion with us. The only thing that we ask, it is not about membership for our church. We just ask that you know that you are in a relationship with God to be able to partake communion with us. That's our only request. We believe that is a biblical request, and so that's the only thing that we ask. But again, we're glad that you're here. We're not only going to do communion today. You may see some chairs with some towels and buckets and water in the buckets, and you may be wondering, what is that? Something that we call foot washing. We believe that it is in Scripture that we should be doing it. It's actually part of our Free Will Baptist thing, our doctrine. But we're going to look at that today and look at it in some different ways in hopes that it will spur us on to serve one another. Everybody excited? Good. I'm extra excited because we're going on vacation after this today. So I have a little extra pep in my step today just to be able to go away. Emma's super excited because I think we're going to hit every Chick-fil-A from here and to wherever we're going, right? Yes. So there you go. How about we pray and then we will continue in our service. God, thank you. Thank you for being such an intimate, intentional, faithful God. Lord, you don't have to do all this. You choose to do it because you love us. And Lord, help our response to be not out of obligation or have to, but because we recognize how amazing you really are and the great lengths that you have gone to secure us an opportunity to be able to spend eternity with you, and that is through accepting your Son as our Lord and Savior, by trusting in him and believing that he really did come and live a life on this earth and died for our sins, but then rose again in victory so that we can have a hope, that we can look forward to something, but not just looking forward, we can live that life now through your Spirit. Lord, may today's service move our hearts into helping us see things a little bit differently, to challenge us to live in such a way that would honor you instead of just use you when it's convenient. Thank you for all that you do, God. We submit all that is going to be said and done to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Overcome by your presence, Lord.
Father God, that is exactly what we are asking from you today. That you just sweetly fill this place as we sit, as we reflect, as we think, as we listen. Lord, help us not to listen with our audible ears only today. May our hearts and our minds be open to the moving of the Spirit as you guide us in a direction that maybe we need to go. Lord, you know the hearts of the hearers that are here today. The things that we struggle with, the things that we're harboring, the things that we are excited about. May those things be laid at your feet today, knowing that you are the one who knows best. And allow us just to rest as your Spirit falls in your presence. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Again, glad that you are here. I need to get my glasses out because y'all are all blurry. Oh, no, it looked better this way. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Yes. So, again, glad that you're here, and hopefully you've got your little cup close. We're going to be using those in just a little bit. But as we have looked through so much of Jesus' teachings, there's so much there that we can really just pull from. And we believe that there are two things that Jesus does towards the end of his life that we probably should do a better job of. And that is with communion. And for some of you, foot washing is kind of a new thing. You're not really sure about what that looks like or what that means, or even if you're even interested in anybody touching your feet. Right? I know some of you are out there, you're like, nope, not happening. And that's okay. But hopefully today we'll shed some light on some things that will help you kind of understand what that looks like and what it means going forward. So, I want to start with a quote. And this quote is going to challenge us in a big way because growing up, for me, church meant everything. And it still does for me. I love coming to this place. I love being here. I love being around you. I love worshiping. I love listening to good preaching when Tim's preaching. I love listening to that. And so, for me, sometimes I get clouded, and I think that's the only place that I can get it. That's the only place that I can be in the presence of God, that only on Sunday mornings from either 8:30 to 9:30, or 9:30 to 10:30, or 10:30 to 11:45, that's the only time that I get to hear from God. That's the only time that I can feel connected to Him. And we kind of get in this mode of, I'll just figure it out all week long. I'll get a shot in the arm either at Go Group through the week or Wednesday night, but Sunday is everything. And I'm glad that you feel that way because Sunday is important. It's important that we rest. It's important that we gather together as believers, but it's not everything. And if we're depending on that, then maybe we're missing out on so much more. So I want you to look at this quote. Probably would help if you turned it on. Here it is. This is from an old guy, way back in 1686 to 1761 is when he lived. So towards the end of his life, he kind of developed this thought. And here's what it says. Isn't it strange that people place so much emphasis upon going to church when there's not one command from Jesus to do so? Church didn't even exist then. They had the synagogues, but it was about getting together with fellow believers and having conversations and doing life together. But look what else it says. And yet neglect the basic duties of our ordinary life, which are commanded in every page of the Gospels. That's an interesting thought for me, because it challenges everything that I've been taught and how I've lived. Because church for me is important. I love being here. But if everything is based on that, my growth, my walk, my interaction with other believers, all of that is only on Sunday morning, what about the six other days of the week? There's so much more involved. And then when I get into the teachings of Jesus, nowhere does he say, hey, make sure you go to church every Sunday. But he does say, hey, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he does say, love your neighbor as yourself. And he does say, if you want people to know that you love me, love one another. Obey my commandments. And nowhere in there does it say, go to church. Now, granted, there's other teachings later on. It talks about don't forsake the gathering of the assembling of other believers together. Don't just ignore that. But still, it doesn't say, gotta go to church. Now, I know for some of you, you're crawling in your pews right now. You're adjusting because you're like, what is he talking about? Does that mean we're dismantling church and we're never going to? No. Stop. Relax. We're not going anywhere. I like coming here. I like seeing your faces, right? Hopefully you enjoy seeing mine most days. But what would this quote really mean? If we were to dig back through the teachings of Jesus, what would it look like when it says he doesn't talk about going to church, but he gives us other things to do? Well, I think if we were to look at the two strict commands that Jesus gives of love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, we find that it brings us to this place. Tim, are you messing with me back there? Oh, EJ, you got to move your head. Thank you. Thank you. So he answered. Here's what Jesus says. Oh, wait. Yeah. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. I read that backwards, sorry. And your neighbor as yourself. Now he's answering a lawyer who says, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, love God, love your neighbor. And look how he ends it. And he says to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. So the lawyer that asked him, what do I need to do? Jesus says, well, what does the law say? How do you interpret the law? And that was his answer. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus says, do that. That's the right answer. But he doesn't just say that's the right answer. He says, you do that and you will live. You will not only live the life that we're supposed to be living here, but that's what eternal life gets us. It's to love God with everything that's within us. That's what Jesus said. And then to love our neighbor as ourself. If we can master that, if we can strive to do that, that is what this life was meant to be. So I find it interesting that Jesus modeled in his last moments on earth, he modeled these two principles by being the center of the focus. He wants God, he wants his Father, he wants us to focus on him and his Father as the center of our life. We must be the center. He must be the center of our lives. It's the center of our focus. Everything that we do must be centered around him. And I said everything on purpose. Because it's not just about on Sunday mornings. If we only spend 1 hour of our week centered and focused around God, what about the other hours of the week? What if Jesus meant that, Alan, when you go play golf, Yeah, you're going to be thinking about other things, you're going to be relaxing, but make sure that everything that happens within your golf game reflects and honors me. Alan, I know that you're not really out in the public workforce anymore, but if that ever happens again, make sure that when you're in the public, make sure that everything you do reflects and honors me. For me, when I hear him say, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's not about being in a church service, lifting my hands and praising him. It's about the day-to-day affairs outside of this building that I am doing to honor him with my mouth, with my eyes, with my ears, with my mind, and with my hands. It's everything. Doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing, you do not get to take a break from being the follower of God that you claim to be. Everything. It's all got to be centered and focused around him. Now, I've told you I'm going on vacation, so I'm going to take a break from being a Christian and a pastor, and I'm just going to go be on vacation for a couple weeks. That doesn't work. While I'm on vacation, I'm not going to be here, but I don't stop being a follower of Christ just because I'm not in this church on Sunday. I still have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and next Sunday to deal with. And everywhere I go, everything that I do must reflect and honor Christ, honor God. And Jesus, in his final moments, helps us see through communion that that is what this is all about. He tells them, every time you eat and drink of this meal, I want you to do what? Remember me. For me, I take that a little bit further. Every time you are doing something, you should be reflecting on, how does this help God? What did God bless me with here? How can I turn this and leverage this to be used for him? Oops. The second thing was this, to serve those around us. To love your neighbor, to serve one another. Now, we struggle with that to some degree because we are a society that I'm only going to do that if I get something in return. We all think that way. In fact, a lot of times marriages dissolve because that's the mentality. And if we could ever get to the place that we as followers of Christ, regardless of what we get in return, do what is right first by serving our neighbor with no regard of what we're going to get back, I would venture to say our world would be a little bit different. It can't come with tags. It can't come with strings attached. I want to serve you because I love you. Because I want to serve you, not because I'm going to get something in return. That's a mentality we've got to really work at. And I believe our church does a really good job. I think we've whittled away at a lot of stuff and gotten to the place where we're willing to serve. But what if our world continues to change in the way that it's changing? Can you maintain that mentality? Well, I can't be in church. They've shut the doors, and we can't sing, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. So I just can't be a Christian anymore. Really? I don't remember that being anywhere in the understanding of what Jesus taught us. Amen? It's mind-boggling to me. The things that we let hinder us from leveraging and taking opportunity to experience God, no matter where we're at, they cannot shut down your mind. They cannot shut down your heart or your faith. They can try. They can physically kill you. But guess what? Your soul lives on forever. They can't touch that. Sorry. That was really sad. Anyway. So Jesus modeled this. And I love how he says to this lawyer, to this guy that's asking the question. He says, if you will do this, if you will keep God as the center, keep Jesus as your focus, do life with that as your centerpiece, and serve one another, if you will do that, you will live. You will live. Listen, it is invigorating to me to be able to serve someone else. I love that. That's not the reason that I do it, but I sure enjoy how it feels as I'm doing it. I love being in the presence of God. Sometimes it's a little more painful than others, but even in those hard conversations that I have with Him, I love being in His presence. And I feel enlightened. I feel just filled up by Him. I feel like I can take on the world because I know that He is with me. And so, what did Jesus do in His last few days to show that He and God, the Spirit, need to be in the center? And how did He show that we should serve one another right before He died? When we look at communion, or we call it the Lord's Supper, in Matthew chapter 26, it says this: as they were eating, so they have gathered for the feast of the Passover. This is right before He's going to be taken before Pilate and beaten and then crucified and then successfully rose again. Here's what He says to His disciples. Now, I want you to think about this. They are just observing Passover like they always do. And He begins talking differently this time. He says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." Now, I don't know about you, but I would have looked at Him like, "Excuse me?" He says, then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Sorry? Looks like juice to me. Looks like just bread. What are you talking about? This is Your body and this is Your blood. And Jesus is saying, listen, this is important. Listen up, guys. What I'm getting ready to do, I'm getting ready to sacrifice My life for you. I'm giving My body for you, and I'm shedding My blood that it will cover the sins, just like the sacrificial lamb used to do. And I want you to do this in remembrance of Me. Every time you take part in this, I want you to think about Me. I want you to think about what I'm telling you here, and I want you to remember what I did on the cross. I want that be played over in your mind every time you eat this meal. Every time you're in this position, I want it to just resonate within you. Folks, what would happen if we, in our life, everything that we did, His death, burial, and resurrection just resonated in our minds? What if right before every decision we played through the things that He has secured for us because of what He did on the cross for us? I guarantee you it would change your life. And that is why we observe communion. And I want you to notice what He says here. He says to the disciples, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." We're going to do communion after we die, but it's going to be with Him. And that is going to be cool. We actually may graduate from grape juice. Just saying. Oop. Everybody got your communion? I love the concept that every time we do this, we should reflect on Him. So we're going to take about a minute, because I know you can't stand more than a minute of quiet. I just want you to sit quietly where you're at. You can close your eyes. You can kneel if you need to. Whatever you want to do. But I just want you to reflect on the goodness of what God has done for you. And maybe just tell Him, thank you. may peel back that first part of that cellophane if you haven't already. For those of you that are at home, getting ready to take the bread. Aren't these neat little things? These are cute, aren't they? Super safe. So Jesus took the bread that they were eating, he broke it and blessed it, and then passed it around, and each one of them took a piece, and they ate it. So we're going to pray over this, and then we will take it together, and then we will pray over the juice that represents the blood of Christ that covers our sins, and then we will drink it as well. So let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the life that you gave. I can't even imagine, God, what it was to look at your son and watch him endure this. And Jesus, I can't imagine what it was to be in that spot enduring it all, but I am thankful that you did. And Lord, this morning, we just want to pause and say thank you and to remember, to reflect, and to be reminded that in everything that we do, we should do it to honor you. And so today, we ask that you bless this wafer. We ask that you bless those that are at home and what they're getting ready to eat as well. And that you be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Baby Jay's ready for some juice. Let's pray over the juice. God, thank you. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Lord, without the shedding of your blood, there is no remission for sins. Lord, you instituted that long ago with the sacrifices, and you finished it with Jesus. Lord, may we reflect every time we are getting ready to make a decision of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. And may it deter us from making a wrong decision. May it inspire us to do the right thing every single time. And may we be thankful every opportunity that we have for the life and the blood that Jesus gave for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jesus did a very interesting thing after this was over. And I wanted to share this with you this morning because I feel like it's something that's very important and something that we probably should do more of. And I get that it's kind of weird and awkward when we do it. So I'm going to invite three friends up this morning. I'm going to invite Lou Luke, Ethan Hines, wherever he went, and my sister, Kim. Yes, if y'all come on up. Lou, I'm going to ask you to sit in the center one first, please. And Ethan, if you'll sit over there, and Kim, right over here. You guys can go ahead and take your socks and shoes off. It'd be awesome. So we're gonna wash some feet in front of you this morning. Now, we did this a couple years back where I washed Charlie's feet, but we're going to do it a little bit different today because it's it'll make sense here in a minute, I hope. So in John chapter 13, it's interesting that John is the only one that records this. He's the only one that puts this in the Gospels. And I find that intriguing because Jesus specifically says, hey, you see how I'm doing this, I want you to do this for each other. Now, some believe that when he said that, it literally means we need to wash each other's feet regularly. Some would say maybe it just means, yes, that's the idea, but if we take the premise by what he's doing of humbling ourselves to serve one another, that's really what he's pushing for us to do. And if you think about the two commandments that he gave us of love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's communion. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves, that's serving one another by washing our feet. Here's what Jesus says. After he finishes dinner, he just gets up and he walks over and he takes his outer robe off. Now, I'm going to roll my sleeves up because I don't have a towel like he would have had, but he would have girded himself with a towel. Now, there are towels out there that you can actually kind of wrap around yourself and still have a lot left to be able to wash and dry each other's feet. But Jesus gets up and he takes off his outer garment and he begins taking a bowl of water that probably would have been set at the door of the house because that was a custom. When you came in, you had nasty feet and it was a polite thing to do for the owner of the house to have something there for you to clean your nasty feet. Plus, I don't want your nasty feet in my house. I want you to clean feet, right? And so that's what they would do. And usually, sometimes they would have a servant there. Sometimes it would be kind of left up to you. But Jesus took it upon himself after this wonderful Passover dinner and having this interaction with the Passover of, hey, this is my body and this is my blood. He gets up, takes his outer coat off, puts the towel around himself, and he goes to his disciples and he begins to wash their feet. And it's intriguing to me because he's washing Peter's feet. Peter, who he knows is going to deny him. And Peter says, hey, if you're going to wash my feet, you got to wash all of me. Like, give me a bath. And Jesus is like, stop. That's not what I'm doing. You're missing the point. Just sit back and listen. And then I want you to think about this. This is before Judas Iscariot has left to go betray him. And he washes Judas's feet. He serves Judas, knowing what Judas is going to do. This passage talks about it has already been placed in Judas's heart. Jesus knows that it's going to happen, and yet he still serves his disciple Judas. That is big. That is a big, big statement. Jesus, as he's washing, he begins talking with his disciples. And I would imagine they were like, what is this guy doing? He has lost his mind. He's talking about eating his body and drinking his blood. And now he's taking on the form of a servant. This is our master. This is supposed to be the King of Kings. Like, he's waiting to be elevated as a king. And he's done all these neat things. What is he doing with this bowl and this towel? And why is he washing our nasty feet? He says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now again, many would take that as, that's really what we should be doing. And that's why in the Free Will Baptist, we practice, well, a lot of churches practice, we haven't really practiced it a whole lot, feet washing. And I know it's weird, I get it. In fact, can I tell on you? I was talking to Lou, I said, Lou, do you mind if we do this on Sunday? He's like, I have no problem with that, but I just want you to know, don't touch my feet very long. I got issues with it. But here's the thing, that's awesome. That conversation should be had, and he should be willing to, in that moment, let me serve him, and I, as I serve him, should be willing to take care of his needs. There's so much involved in this whole thing of serving one another. It's not about me getting what I want by serving him. It's about meeting his needs. And Jesus said, if I'm doing this for you, you guys should do this for one another. Now, I would potentially take it a step further and say, really, this is the model for what it looks like to serve one another. Because there are things that I probably don't want to do, like wash people's feet. But if it means humbling myself in order to serve someone else, then that is what I want to do. Jesus says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, if you know this to be true, blessed are you if you do them. So when I come over here to my friend Lou, who I love, if I get a little emotional, it's just because I get emotional. But I'm going to ask Lou, if you don't mind, just put your feet in there. It shouldn't be too cold, I promise. Is it? You already tried it? So now when we do foot washing, it's not like I've got a scrunchie and soap, and it's nothing like that. He was going to bring all kinds of shampoo and conditioner for his feet and lotion. Well, I'm not doing all that. But it's the idea of willing to humble myself by kneeling in front of him and say, Lou, I'm just going to lift your foot up here. I'm not even going to touch your feet. I'm just going to take the water and put it right over it, just like that. It doesn't have to be scrubbing in between the toes and getting all the fun stuff out, right? It's really just the idea of being willing to humble myself and touch someone's feet. And to say, Lou, I love you, man. Thanks for letting me serve you. Put these out here so I can move this water real quick. And Lou, I appreciate, dude, what you do for our church, how you love your family, how you take care of your wife and your kids, and proud of you for graduating. Dude, that was awesome. Congratulations. You've been working on that for a while. Thanks for letting me serve you, man. I appreciate you. Love you. Now, Here's what's cool about this. Now, I could go to each person. Do you need that by chance? I could go to each person and I could wash my son's feet. Or I could go and wash my sister's feet. But that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Lou to go and wash Ethan's feet. And here's why. Because as I've modeled to Lou what it looks like to humble yourself and serve one another, now what I want is I want my friend Lou to go and do that for somebody else. And here's what's neat about this one. So our families are close, and Lou likes Ethan, Ethan likes Lou. But this is an opportunity for me to have another male figure that has some life experience that I don't have to pour in and serve my son. That's huge and important. And it's vital that we as believers in a church live lives in such a way that we can pour into each other's children's lives. That's important for us. And I trust Lou with my kids. Even Eli. And I love that he loves my children. I love that he wants to serve them and pour into them. And now, Ethan, you get to do your aunts. I know, it's a chore. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's kind of weird because it's a boy washing a girl's feet. But this is a different representation. And I asked my sister intentionally because I wanted her nephew to wash his aunt's feet. And here's why. Family issues are the hardest places to serve one another. And yet, we should humble ourselves and serve even our family. It's hard for us. Now, does that mean at your next family outing that you need to bring a big bucket of water and some towels and just go around and wash? Nope. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is reflect on what God has done for you and leverage that as an opportunity to serve those around you. Guys, you can take your shoes and head off. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Can we give them a hand really quick? So now what we're going to do, we have buckets of water all throughout the church. I'm just kidding. Some of y'all just went. But the idea is this. Just as we've done communion today, every chance we get, we should reflect on the goodness of what God has done for us. And it should inform our decisions as we move forward. And just as Jesus has commanded us, and just as we have seen here, we should take every opportunity that we can to serve one another. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't have to do that. He was heading to the cross to solidify all of our opportunity to spend eternity with him. He could have said, hey, you guys feed me. You guys wash my feet. I'm the man. And he says, no one's greater than the other. We can all serve one another. I can learn how to serve my wife and my children just like they can learn to serve me. And if we are exercising Paul's rule of thumb of putting others' needs in front of our own, then we are already committing and doing the second commandment of loving our neighbor as ourself. This morning it was a very simple outline, very simple thought, but hopefully you will cogitate on this all week long and think about, search for, look for opportunities to serve one another and to reflect on the goodness of our God. As our praise team comes, let me pray for you this morning. God, thank you. Thank you for the sweetness of what we were able to do. Lord, it's a very simple act. It's putting my own wants and needs aside, humbling myself before my fellow man, and serving them the best that I know how. Lord, it's simply acknowledging you in everything that I'm doing as I do my best to honor you with the life that you've blessed me with. God, I want to make sure that everything flows through that filter of honoring, blessing, and promoting your greatness. Thank you for what you've done. I ask that based on your word, Lord, that you would go forth and move within hearts sharper than any two-edged sword. Reveal to us those areas where we are more stuck in just, I have to be at church rather than church happens all week long. Or maybe we're stuck in, people need to serve me. Humble us, God, to the place of serving each other. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name.
hill called Calvary stands an endless mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul, find your rest and be made whole. Stripes of blood that stain his frame, shed to wash away our shame. From the scars, pure love released, salvation by the mercy tree. In the sky between two thieves hung the blameless Prince of Peace. Bruised and battered, scarred and scorned, sacred head pierced by our thorns. It is finished, was his cry. The perfect Lamb was crucified. His sacrifice, our victory. Our Savior chose the mercy tree. Hope went dark that violent day. The whole earth quaked at love's display. 3 days silent in the ground, this body born for heaven's crown. And on that bright and glorious day, when heaven opened up the grave, he's alive and risen indeed. Oh, praise him for death has died, love has won. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has overcome. He has risen from the dead. One day soon we'll see his face. Every tear he'll wipe away. No more pain or suffering. Oh, praise him for the mercy tree. Death has